you from Matthew 26, verses 31 through 35. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night, for it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Thank you. All right. Let the cock crow, Lord, is the title of my message today. First of all, these are wicked times that we live in today. Now, I know that probably everyone has said that in every age they've lived in. And as I think things get progressively wicked, they probably were telling the truth. But many who profess today to be saved and to be children of God are grievously affected by the times in which we live. Many have been seduced by sin and Satan. Many are cold and backslidden. Many are not what they used to be. There was an old song that they used to sing many years ago that fits a lot of Christians today, and it was, the old gray mare isn't what she used to be. Only they said, ain't what she used to be. And there are many Christians today that are like the old gray mare. They ain't what they used to be, or they aren't what they used to be. But any way you take it, they're not what they used to be. Now, maybe you were there this morning, or maybe you're headed in that direction, or maybe you're not, and maybe you just need this message by way of warning and exhortation. The Lord's doing all kinds of things in the Word when it's preached. And I pray this morning that God will use this message for His glory and for your good. I've already prepared the message, and so I'm like the cook. I've already tasted of that which I've prepared. Now I'll serve it up to you. First of all, I want you to notice in these scriptures, Peter's condition. In verses 31 through 35, Peter is disrespectful. You know, the Lord told him what's going to happen. He said, I mean, can you imagine? Can you imagine? Peter, saying, that's not the way it's going to happen, Lord. Second thing about him, he was proud. Well, he said, I'm going to tell you one thing right now. He said, I'm not going to be, though all men should be offended by you. There'll be one left on the face of this earth that'll never be offended by you. His name is Peter. He's very proud. Very proud. He was very self-sufficient. If he'd have meant that in this way, I'm going to be dependent on you, Lord, to help me make it so that I don't do what you said. It'd been different. But Peter was looking at Peter, and Peter's evaluated Peter, and Peter says, now I'm going to stand. I'm not going to be offended by you, Lord. No. No, Peter was ignorant of himself. You know, dear people, this morning, we are ignorant of ourselves. God has to teach us what we are. We make a gross error in evaluating ourselves. That's what Peter was doing. He was disrespectful to the Lord. He was proud. He was self-sufficient. He was ignorant of himself. And you know what? God lets a lot of things happen in our life just to give us a good glimpse of what we really are when we think we are great. And we think we're pretty big. And we get put under pressure many times, and it turns out we're not what we thought we were. You see? And so Peter's condition, spiritually, was not good. He was in a pretty bad condition at this moment, and he hasn't even begun to be tested. He is in no condition for the test that's about to face him. Because here in these verses of Scripture, he's leaning on the flesh. Now the Lord has just told him what's going to happen to him. And he, instead of falling on his face, saying, "Oh Lord, please, I just couldn't live, I don't believe, if I did such a horrible thing. Will you please help me that I shall be able to die with you?" He would have been acting in the right way, and he'd have been showing that he was what he should have been. But he didn't say that. He didn't realize that the one that was telling him that knew him better than he knew himself. And I think sometimes, dear people, as Christians, that you and I, we don't pay attention to what God tells us about ourselves. He tells us what we are and what we can do and what we can become. And we say, "Oh, it never happened to me." Yes, it will. If you don't walk according to the Word and you don't ask God to help you and strengthen you, and by the grace of God, you'd be surprised at what you could become. Many people are surprised today at what they've become. There are a lot of has-beens today that wear the name of Christ. Has-beens. I heard of a missionary not long ago, a man that in my pastorate I have supported before, who went out and worked for the Lord in the mission work, who ended up going out for the mission field and pastoring a church. And I talked to him since he pastored that church. And I talked to a man here a while back that said that man and his wife had split up. That man was not walking with God. That man was not even going to church. That man wasn't even serving the Lord. That man was not even a shell of what he was at one time. He said it was a sad, sad situation. And it was hard for me to picture this man like this. It was hard for me to get him into focus. Not this man. Not this man. Not here in the latter part of his life. This hasn't happened to him. Yes, it had. Yes, it had. Disaster had fallen him. And he who used to go out and try to point others to Jesus Christ on a foreign field and even at home in difficult territories had himself fallen into sin and was a has-been and never would be what he once was for God and never could be what he once was for God. And we'll not go into detail. But I don't know why it all happened, but I know one thing, and this could be said of any man, he wasn't walking with God to end up like he was and is. That's for sure. Now let me tell you this morning, be you young or old, the Lord has told you in His Word what you are. You are a sinner. And you that are saved this morning, and especially is this message aimed at you, though you that are lost can listen. Listen, the Lord has told you what you are. Now you can disregard what He said you are. And you can say that may be true of some people, but it's not true of me. But I'll tell you one thing right now. You better be careful. Because the great physician never misdiagnosed any case. He won't misdiagnose yours. Some of you sit here this morning, men, and you say, "Well, my marriage is secure." You better not get too self-confident. The devil will send a skirt your way one day, and you'll leave your wife and family, and you'll forget about your reputation, and you go into the depths of sin and end up with a bottle in your mouth and with drugs and so forth. You'd be surprised at how far you can go in a short time. And what you can become. And it won't even bother you too much. You sit here this morning, ladies, and you say, "Well, I never can." Yes, you can. You have the potential to become everything any other woman's ever become. Jesus Christ was telling Peter something that should have got a different reaction from Peter. But Peter was so filled with himself that he wasn't hearing and he wasn't thinking correctly. Here was the one who knew him. He was actually doing him a favor. But he wouldn't listen. He wouldn't listen. Next thing I want you to notice is his backsliding. And this is given to us in verses 56 and 58 and 69 through 74. And I didn't read this, so I'll read this now to you as you listen. It says, But all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled. Then all the disciples forsook him, that is Jesus, when they arrested him, and fled. They all ran. They all said they'd stay with him. Of course, I think they all said, I'll not let Peter get ahead of me. He said, Lord, I'll save. Peter said, Lord, everybody leaves you. I'll never leave you. Well, you don't think the rest of those fellows are going to let him get away with that? They said, we won't leave you either. I mean, we'll stand with you too, Lord. Well, they cut a trail. But notice, as we catch only the scriptures we want to, in verse 58, it said, But Peter followed him, that is Christ, afar off, unto the high priest's palace, and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Wait a minute, this is the same man that said, I'll die with you if I have to, Lord. You wait, you're in the wrong place, Peter. You're following afar off. Don't you realize that if you're going to die with him, you're going to have to get closer than that? You're not going to die with him following him afar off. We already see Peter is beginning to show the effects of what trusting in himself would do. And then we notice also there in verses 69 through 74, as it says this, and this is a very sad picture here. Now Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, Thou also wast with Jesus of Galilee. But he denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. Wait a minute. This is our hero? This is our man who was going to die with the Lord? This was the one who said so boldly, Though everybody forsakes you, I never will. I'll die before I'll forsake you. This is the disciple of the Lord? This is the apostle Peter? This is the rock? Well, that's not enough. Verse 71 says, And when he was going out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, This fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. Okay. And again he denied with an oath. He swore before God, I swear, I do not know the man. Not only am I not a follower of his, I don't even know him. He's a stranger to me. We're not personally acquainted. You want to say, what? This is a disciple who left his fishing and followed Christ. This is one who was elevated to the office of an apostle, a special office, given a privilege above others. Why, what in the world is he doing? He not only says, I don't know what you're saying, as he did the first time, but this time he takes an oath. He swears. He perjures himself. This adds to and aggravates his sin against God. But notice it says, And after a while came unto him they that stood by and said to Peter, Surely thou art also one of them, speaking of the followers of Christ, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. You speak like a Galilean, you country bumpkin, you. The people in Jerusalem said that bunch from Galilee, kind of rough speaking, weren't refined. You could tell them by the way they talked. You've heard them say, you can take him out of the country, but you can't take the country out of him. It's kind of the way it was. People from Galilee said, why, your speech, I don't tell by the way you talk. Then the Bible said he began to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew. Now, let me tell you, dear people, three times, not one time, three times, Peter denies the Lord. At any point before the final denial, he could have repented. But he didn't. He kept going from bad to worse. Do you see? He was falling afar off. He could have repented before he denied him the first time. That was his first test. To follow him afar off was not to do what he said he was going to do. But he denied him. All right, between that first denial and second denial, he could have repented and said, I shouldn't have done that. I lied. I failed my Lord. I've gone back on my word. But he didn't. He didn't. So he comes up. Strike one on him. So he comes up, and again he's charged with being a follower of Christ, and this time he swears. He's not. Strike two. No repentance. Okay, so you've done it twice, Peter. You don't have to do it again. You can repent. You can get right with God. You can stop it right here. And the next one that asks you, you can say, yes, I'm one of his. I'm a follower. You got that opportunity. No. What happens? Again, he's charged with being a follower of Christ, and this time he does even worse. He not only does not repent, he shows no sign of repentance. He's not turning back. Now, dear people, I'm going to tell you something right now. One of the reasons why I know the Bible is the Word of God is that this was one of the Lord's main men, and he's telling the truth on him. He's not trying to paint a picture of Peter being a superman. He's showing you he knew what he was. This was the same man that he's going to be going to the cross for shortly and dying to save. This man who said three times he didn't know him. Three times he didn't know him. He's going to go and die for him. Three times. That's his condition. He was, listen, sinking deeper and deeper into sin with every denial. Every denial. And he's down now at the last where he never thought he would be just a short while before that very night. Never did he see himself where he is at this moment. He's come a long ways in a very short time. And the Lord Jesus Christ told him this was exactly how it was going to be. The devil is sifting him. The devil is having a heyday with him. And I can imagine, dear people, the Bible doesn't say, so you can disagree. I can imagine that the devil and the devils are all laughing themselves sick almost, if they could get sick at the scene that they're seeing. Here is a follower of Christ acting like this. What delight this must have caused the devil. And the devils, what a delight this must have been. What an accusation Satan must have said to God. See there? Look down there. Your son is going to die for such as that. He won't even admit he knows your son. He doesn't deserve to be saved. Well, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that the devil is an accuser of the brethren. And he had a whole lot to accuse Peter for. And you can see him now. He's hit the bottom of the barrel. He didn't hang up on any of the rungs. He hit the bottom of the barrel. He got worse each time. He got deeper and deeper into sin. Where are you this morning? At step number one? Have you begun to deny the Lord in your life as a Christian? You begin to get like the world? Or at your step number two? Are you even farther away from God? You've not just begun to miss your Bible reading and you've just lost interest in the preaching and your interest is more in television and the things of the world and material things. Ah! You're going right down the same road that Peter did. The same road that Peter went down. And at last he came to the bottom of the barrel. Like the man I was telling you about a while ago, who's a former missionary, came to the bottom of the barrel. That story has been repeated time and time again, even among preachers. Preachers have been greatly used of God, have hit the bottom so hard till they literally bounced because they didn't stay close to God and lean on the Lord and pray and walk with Him and believe Him, but they instead let the devil get the best of him, which he can do any day of the week without the Lord to strengthen us and help us. And so, I want to ask you this morning, is God speaking to your heart? You don't think God knows you enough to send you a message and tell you, tap you on the shoulder as it were, as he did to Peter and say, look, you're getting ready to deny me by your life. You can't deny him like Peter did literally because he's not being crucified, but you can deny him the place in your life that he needs and he's supposed to have. You can deny him by the way you live. And that thing can get worse and worse and worse. And step by step, by it has. That has right here in the community of Oakdale and surrounding area. And if you'll think, you probably can think of some people today that this reminds you of who have denied the Lord and gone right to the bottom of the barrel. To the very bottom of the barrel. Now I want you to notice his conviction. There in verses 74 and 75 it said, "Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man, and immediately the cock crew. And Peter remembered..." It's a little late, Peter. "And Peter remembered the word of Jesus." Well, you should have remembered it when the thing first started. You should have believed him when he talked to you the first time. "Which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice," three times. And the Bible said he went out and wept bitterly. Yes, he got under conviction. It was long coming. It was overdue. He had gone three times. And he'd not got under conviction until that old rooster crowed. Listen. The Lord, the Bible says in Luke, turned and looked at him. And you know what that look meant? "Peter, I told you. And you said you wouldn't. But you did." There's a lot in a look. The Lord didn't have to say to Peter, "Peter, what did I tell you?" It was just the look. It was just the look from Jesus. In Luke 22, just the look. Verses 59, 61, just the look. And it went home to his heart. He realized that he had done exactly what he said he wouldn't do. He was exactly where he said he wouldn't go. And the Lord had said so. And he had denied it and said he wouldn't. But he did. Oh, dear people, if you do not say it in your with your mouth, it had better be in your heart that you will be faithful to God throughout your life with God's help and by God's grace. And then you must put your heart into it to read and study the Word of God and to try to practice it and ask Him to help you, or you will hit the bottom. This is the warning this morning. The warning not only to the young people, it's a warning to the older people too. It's a warning to every child of God this morning especially, that we cannot trust ourselves. We must trust the Lord. And you know, dear people, when the Lord turned and looked at old Peter, it was like an arrow of conviction pierced his heart. An arrow of conviction. Oh, my dear people this morning, what we need today, if America's ever going to turn back to God, and it's going to have to start with those that profess to be Christians, is we're going to have to be brought under conviction for our sin and our worldliness and our waywardness as Christians. And if that doesn't happen, we'll never be spared as a nation. For the wicked world is living exactly like wicked people are supposed to live. It's we that are Christians that are falling down on the job. And let me tell you, people do not repent, as we shall see Peter did, until they get convicted that what they're doing is wrong. And they don't get convicted unless they're convicted because of the Word of God. And the Word of God had already been planted in Peter's heart by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And if our preachers do not preach the Word of God to God's people, they cannot and will not get under conviction. But the preachers, in too many cases, have joined the people and have decided to become one of them. Now, I thought the other day, we preachers cannot do that. We preachers are called to stand and call upon the people to turn from their wickedness. We're to point out their sin. We're to call it sin. and we're not to call it sickness, and we're not to camouflage it or whitewash it, and we're to say, thus saith the Lord, repent, or else. Then's when we're the friend of the people that we preach to. Never mind what the people think. You're the real friend of the people when you're a preacher, when you preach the Word of God faithfully to them. The real friends of people today are not the whitewashers and not the worldly preachers that are bringing the world into the church to get the crowd, to feed the preacher's ego. It's the man who dares to stand and point out sin and say, look, this fornication, this adultery, this homosexuality, this dope dealing and dope using that you're carrying on, this drinking, alcoholic, this wicked, sinful, filthy, vile life you're living. It's a sin against God. You're supposed to be God's people. I'm talking about God's people now when I'm saying all this. It's wrong. And you must repent. That's what needs to be done today. There's nothing that disturbs backslidden Christians like running into the Word of God. Somebody said the other day in a certain place they weren't satisfied with the pastor. I know that bunch of people, and I know they're not satisfied with him. But it's not because they're not satisfied with him because they say they want him to preach the Word, and he won't because he's too mild. They're dissatisfied over some little something that doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Because they wouldn't be caught dead. I don't even believe you could preach a funeral and preach a good straight sermon. They'd rise up out of their casket and walk out. A lot of these churches today, when you say they had a split, they had trouble with the preacher. So what's the matter? Wore his tie wrong? Parted his hair wrong? Some little old something doesn't amount to a hill of beans, because I know the last thing in the world they want is the Word of God preached. It's not because he was preaching the Word. Because that's the last thing they want. They can't stand that. They won't have that. That chokes them to death. That gives them indigestion, heartburn, and everything else. It's sad, and that's exactly what they need. I'm going to tell you something right now. Every church in Oakdale needs a good old hellfire and brimstone sermon preached to it with no holds barred. Starting all the way from the pulpit, even set the preacher down. And when you get through, if they're ready to hang you, you've done your job. If they threaten to shoot you, you've done your job. That's just how rotten churches are today. The world is rotten. Got news for you. Always been that way. It's called lost people. Doing what lost people do. But it's the church today, the ones who profess to be Christians, that are so shameful today. That's the sad part. I'm a Christian. You are. Well, if you live right, you won't have to tell anybody. They'll guess it. They'll say, I saw something different about you. Right? You did nothing like, you know, living for the Lord and running across a hypocrite who say after a while, after you've heard them tell all the dirty jokes they can tell and use all the curse words they can use, and they find out you're a Christian, and they say, well, I'm one too. You got them. A lot of times, I just like to get around people and just shut up and not say anything. And just let them make their own rope and then hang themselves with it. They can't go back on it then. I don't have to tell them what they are. They just got through telling me. That's kind of hard when you get hanged with your own rope. See? That's kind of hard, dear people, and that's exactly what we need in some churches today, is we need preaching that the Holy Spirit can use to bring conviction on the hearts of backslidden, cold, and indifferent, and worldly Christians. The goal of every Christian, almost, of the great majority, seems today, to be as much like the world as they can be. That's it. You preach something from the Word, and they start looking at the Bible, trying to find some little loophole where they can say it's all right for them to be like the world. Sad.
Let's look at Peter's repentance here quickly. Matthew 26 and 75 says, and we read it again, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord, word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out, and he wept bitterly. You tell me that's conviction? Yes. Deep sorrow and regret filled his heart for the sin which he had committed. Godly sorrow that led to repentance, as we see from the later events in his life. God doesn't say, and Peter repented, but the Bible says, godly sorrow worketh repentance. And we know by the rest of his life that that did happen. God forgave him, God restored him, and God used him for his glory. And he died, tradition says, one day for his master. He finally got around at the end of his life doing what he said he would do in this time. But he knew a lot more about himself than he did at this time. Repentance. That means he was deeply convicted of his sin and turned from it, asked God to forgive him. And the Lord did. And God went on and used him greatly in his service. Many of God's people are in very poor spiritual condition today. They're following the Lord afar off. That's the way Peter started. Afar off. Before the three denials, he was following Jesus afar off. And they need that old rooster of conviction to crow in their backslidden life today. And they need to be made aware of how far from God that they really are. They're warming themselves by the fires of God's enemies. Peter did that, you know. Sat down and warmed himself by the enemies of Christ's fire. The very ones that were trumping up the charges against Jesus Christ to put him to death. And there are many today that need to be convicted strongly of their sin and their straying and ask forgiveness and get back in fellowship and service with God and say, by the grace of God and with God's help, I will die faithful to the Lord. Be thou faithful unto death, and I'll give thee the crown of life. That's what the Lord says in Revelation. That's it. Let the cock crow. What we need across our land, a lot of crowing by, we'll call it God's roosters. Crowing, bringing conviction, preaching the word of the Lord. And we need a lot of people who are willing to admit that they have gone a long ways from God. You cannot walk with this world and walk with God. Christian, listen to me this morning. You cannot ride two horses at one time as far as God is concerned. Circus performers may do that, but you can't, Christian. You can't do it. You can't be part of this whole world and have it saying great and good things about you and how wonderful you are and also be pleasing the Lord too. You're going to have to decide which one you want to please. It's not easy, I tell you, dear people. It's not easy, but it's what's required of you if you would please your Lord and you would not be a Peter. Young and old, you have to make up your mind. You can't straddle the fence. Get on one side or the other. You can't walk it that way. It's a sickening mess that you see today among God's people or those who profess to be God's people. I'm not sure that a lot of them even know the Lord that profess to be, but they sure do bring reproach on the name of the Lord because they say they know Him. By the openly, not because they do not have perfection, but because of the open wickedness and sin in their lives. They smell like and look like and act like the world is as closely as they can. The world sets the standards for them. They don't look to God. They look to the world. That's not what the Lord wants you to be today, Christian. God wants you to be as different as He is. I wonder this morning, if Christ were still here, how many of us would have done like Peter?